Blog Talk Radio.
Circles of Prosperity, along with Cynthia and Dr. Razzie Johnson, who are your hosts for this show. Today, we are still studying the book, Breaking Free from Critical Addiction. And this week, we will be focusing on part two, which is focusing on the solution. So we're going to start with the morning prayer, the opening prayer here, and I'm not seeing where Dr. Reggie and Cynthia are on the line as of yet, so I will go ahead and start that so that we can get going and get down into our lesson this morning. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for a new day. I thank you for new opportunities and a new chance to just be here in the world today. It is a new week, a brand new day, a brand new week, and we just give thanks today for all that we are and certainly for all that you are. So just giving thanks and praise and honor, and so it is. So it is. All right. Okay, so last week we finished up with the first part of Critical Addiction. We had actually two awesome visits from the author of the book last week. So that was pretty exciting and pretty cool to have her here with us to answer some of our questions. And now this week we're going into the solution. So here she's talking about creating healthy environments is how she actually starts this chapter off. She starts by telling a story of how she was invited to come along with a friend of hers to help her with a class that she was giving. And it was some government employees that she was working with, and they were just not team players, and they had a critical attitude. So one of the things that she did to help that class get along was simply start by writing on a blackboard what dysfunctional behaviors were, and then she drew a line and wrote down what healthy behaviors were, and that just seemed to solve the issue of people really realizing. So what she did was make the critical addiction really right there in their face so that they would understand that that was actually being dysfunctional, and it did actually correct the problem in that classroom. So that's how she actually starts this chapter off. One thing I do want to say before we move forward with the study today, and that is if you haven't already gone out to purchase this book, you can do so either by visiting the website, circlesofprosperity.org. There's a tab there where you can actually order this book. And then also she has it on Amazon as well. There's an e-book version that's really, really inexpensive that you can pick up so that you can follow along with the book study. Because as I said at the beginning, I'm not actually reading every single verse or chapter within the book. I'm hitting the key points within the books for the sake of time. And then also just with the hopes that you're also reading along with me and that you're able to fill in the parts that I'm actually not reading. And then also I want to let you know that if you ever have any questions and you're not live on the show, I know that we have live listeners as well as listeners who go in and listen to the archives there. So if you ever have questions, you can always email me at gloria.wells@circlesofprosperity.org, or you can email cynthia.johnson@circlesofprosperity.org. Either way, we'll get your questions answered either online or in the email that you send. So I just wanted to say that before we really get down into the lesson today. Okay. All right. So that was the beginning of the part two where she's talking about that class that she helped to understand what critical addiction was simply by making that very clear to them, pointing out that that was a dysfunctional behavior. The other part of this second chapter is that the recovery programs. She's also going into a discussion about we need to see our criticism and negativity in the same way so that we treat being critical as unhealthy and that we create educational programs that develop healthy ways to deal with our issues. So, again, she's talking about recovery programs there, and then she also gives bullet points on how that recovery program for critical addiction could be something that helps everybody in the long run. What our main focus for today's session will be is the primary aspects of self-awareness. Now, remember that this section of the book is about creating healthy environments. So in doing so, in showing us how to create healthy environments, she's actually going to give us the aspects of the primary aspects of self-awareness, and then we're going to talk today about what those three elements are. Okay, so she starts out by saying, recovery programs for critical addiction must focus on developing the three primary aspects of self-awareness, which are identification, appreciation, and intention. Intention being the basis of perception. So that's one of the things that we've talked about previously on Circles of Prosperity in terms of setting your intention. So that's something we're going to get into today as well. And again, she says that intention is the basis of perception. A healthy identification is the foundation for both the capacity to appreciate and clarity of intention. All three aspects of self-awareness create our perception and the ability to experience the full enjoyment of life. So there she's really letting us know that these three aspects that we're going to talk about today actually create our perception and our ability to express the full enjoyment of life. So being self-aware is clearly, a foundational point to living a joyful life. So now she's going to get down into the healthy identification. Now, I do want to point out that she has a picture here of an actual pyramid. That pyramid has three levels on it, the first being a healthy identification, the second being that second aspect, the capacity to appreciate, and then the top of the pyramid is the clarity of your intention. So the healthy identification takes up the entire bottom half of the pyramid, and that makes it our foundation. Throughout the week this week, we will be focusing on the primary aspect of self-awareness, which is identification. But today we're going to identify these three primary aspects, and we're going to talk a little bit about what they are and what they mean. Okay, so the first aspect is healthy identification. She says here that identity is the foundation on which all aspects of the self are built. The capacity to appreciate and create is relative to the kind of person we believe we are. So that's really important. Your capacity to appreciate anything and create anything in your life is, from Kaylee's point of view here, it's based on the kind of person that you believe you are. So she goes on to say, if we are filled with self-doubt and judgments, our awareness will be limited, and we will be unable to appreciate what we have to offer and what we are able to do. This limits our creativity and therefore the scope and clarity of our intentions. The goal of recovery is seeing ourselves differently from the vantage point of a caring, centered place inside of us that is not dependent on what other people think. We need to see ourselves as worthy, valuable, important, and innately good, regardless of our past mistakes and others' opinions. In other words, we need to see ourselves as we were created, with all of our innate qualities intact. This entails the letting go of many layers of false information and painful memories to discover the truth and beauty of our true nature. Then and only then can we reclaim our true identity and fully develop the next two qualities. So let's go ahead and unpack the qualities of that healthy identification. She says a few things in there that are really worth pausing and taking note of. One of those is that if we're filled with self-doubt and judgments, our awareness is limited. And that we're unable to appreciate what we have to offer and what we are able to do. So that just means that when we're filled with that self-doubt and judgment, we can't really see the truth of who we are or the truth of who other people are. So she says that this means letting go of the false information and painful memories to discover the truth and beauty of our inner nature. Now, that's similar to what I said last week when we were studying mostly what critical addiction is and how the inner critic actually masks those negative traits within us. One of the things that I said last week was, you know, imagine like the newborn baby, and then all of these layers as you go along in life, all of these layers are covered over that. So you start with that from that perfect point, and then you get these layers on top. So we're now working to get those layers off to reveal our true perfection, and that's really what she's saying as well here in this. So that was my point that I took away from that, that that's what she's saying. We start off perfect, and then we build up these layers over time. So she's saying here that this entails letting go of many of these layers of false information and painful memories to discover the truth and beauty of our true nature. At that point, what I'm taking Kaylee to say here and what she's actually saying then is that then and only then can we reclaim our true identity. So reclaiming our true identity is based on identifying what our capacity to appreciate and create. So that's what a healthy identification is based on. There's not a lot of judgment or self-doubt when you have a healthy identification of who you are. So that's one of the primary foundations of this pyramid that she's building up for us, is that healthy identification. All right, so we're going to move now into the capacity to appreciate, which is also one of the big parts of this pyramid, is your ability to appreciate. So we're just going to read what she says here. Opening our hearts expands our capacity to appreciate. Our hearts are open to the degree which we allow things to simply be what they are. Now, that sentence in the book is actually underlined. And I know when she was on last week, she also pointed out, she really stressed that particular line more than once in her conversation. And so I'll repeat that sentence. So because apparently she wants us to place an extra emphasis on this because she underlined it in the book. So that particular sentence, again, is our hearts are open to the degree to which we allow things to simply be what they are. So what I took away from that, what I took that to mean, is that when we're not resisting what is, we can actually have an open heart. When we're allowing things to just be what they are, which also goes back to not placing a judgment on good, bad, right, wrong, on things that occur in your life. We're simply allowing things to be as they are. Now, this is listed under the capacity to appreciate. So that also leads me to believe that the more that we allow things to be as they are, the greater our capacity will also be to appreciate those things. We're not placing those judgments on things or filling them with self-doubt. We're just letting them be what they are, and that just gives us the space to allow for appreciation. So we're going to go ahead with what she's saying here, and that's also that judgments block our ability to take in information, even when it's right in front of us. If we see anything exactly as it is without judgment, it is just seen as information, and we can appreciate it for what it is and use it appropriately. The addition of judgment colors our perception and distorts what we see and hear, rendering us incapable of actually listening to what others have to say or seeing what they have to offer because we have prejudged them. This leaves us with faulty information while others feel unheard and unseen, spreading the disease of critical addiction. So there again is more so about learning to hone in your judgments and then allowing things to just be as they are. She talks that when we're filled with this level of judgment, it just blocks our ability to see things that are right in front of us. So, for example, then, if I'm judging a situation, let's say I'm looking at my job situation as it's just bleak. You know, I don't like it. I'm frustrated with everything that's going on. I'm judging the people, my coworkers, my senior management for the way they're doing things, just really having a bleak outlook on a job or on a job situation, having that particular judgment would not allow me to appreciate the good in that job, the fact that this job is paying my bills, the fact that I'm able to learn a new skill from being on this job. So if I'm filled with tons of judgment about the quality of that particular job, there's no way that I would be able to really see the good there or the positive aspect of that job. So that's how much judgment colors what you're able to actually see out in the world, and that's also why becoming self-aware of this judgment increases your capacity to appreciate. Again, she says here that our hearts are open to the degree which we are able to allow things to simply be what they are. Okay, so also there, she talks about this leaves us with the faulty information while others feel unheard. So not only does this affect your perception, the people that you're interacting with don't feel a sense of being heard, which again allows that the disease of critical addiction to continue to spread, which others pick up that same way of thinking and being, and then it just goes on and on from there. Okay, so we're going to move now. So we've talked about the healthy identification and the capacity to appreciate, about those two being primary aspects of your identification, of a healthy identification of who you are. So the last one today is going to be the clarity of intention. So here she says, clarity is necessary for goal setting. That said, clarity only comes from being fully aware of the way things are in the present, as well as understanding the possibility of how things can be in the future. You can't see clearly if your picture is distorted by faulty assumptions about what you are or the inability to appreciate what you and others are capable of doing. Clarity is based on a healthy identity and the capacity to appreciate. We are all born with the power to create, but without clear intention, this power is like allowing an untrained puppy free to run amok. It chews up things we love and innocently creates a destructive impact on everything around it, instead of simply generating love and appreciation. We need to focus this power in order to create the outcomes that we really want. When free from the self-destruction of critical addiction, self-esteem blossoms, and the obstacles we once saw as insurmountable simply disappear. While addicted, we continue to exist in the abyss of lowest self-esteem, where goals are limited, because we don't think we can amount to much or accomplish anything of any real merit. We don't expect much from our life, and we get just what we expect. All right, so there she is talking about the clarity of your intention. And again, this is a topic that we've discussed previously on Circles of Prosperity, where we've gone into talking about in our previous studies how important it is to be clear on your intention, especially when we were in the book study of oneness. That was one of the things we really, that Cynthia really emphasized about that particular book study, is how important it is to have these clear intentions. So let's break that down a little bit about what she's saying here about clarity of your intentions. She's saying that clarity only comes from being fully aware of the way things are in the present, as well as an understanding of the possibility of how things can be in the future. So, and she's also saying that you can't see clearly if your picture is distorted by faulty assumptions about what your ability to appreciate. Clarity is based on a healthy identity and the capacity to appreciate. So you see, going back to that pyramid that she described or shows us here in the book, where on the very bottom, which is the foundation of that pyramid, she's talking about the healthy identification. That's literally like the foundation. At the top of that pyramid is the clarity of intentions. So you can see how if you don't have a healthy foundation, which equals and means of a faulty foundation, if you don't have a healthy idea of who you are, then your foundation is not going to be as solid. Therefore, you can't, the top of that pyramid won't be as effective if the foundation is not firm and solid. So she says that clarity is based on that healthy identity. So it's based on your ability to have that healthy identity. She says that we are all born with the power to create, but without clear intention, this power is like allowing an untrained puppy to run free and run amok. So we all have this innately within us, this power to create that which we desire. But it's not until we get really clear about our intentions and how we want to see those expressed in the world are we really able to move into building the life that we really want for ourselves. So those are the three primary aspects of creating or having a positive self-awareness, self-awareness. And those, again, are a healthy identification, appreciation, the capacity to appreciate, and clarity of intention. So as she moves down, as we move down further into this chapter, she's focusing primarily on the aspects of identification, of having that healthy identification, because, again, that's the foundation. So the rest of, certainly for tomorrow, we will be talking about some of the aspects of this healthy identification. So I'm just going to read a little bit of what she has to say here about the aspects of identification. So she says here, so what is the inner critic? Where does it come from? Were we born with it? Isn't it just part of human nature? Can we just get rid of it, or do we want to get rid of it? Is it a part of us? And how did we get this way? Aren't judgments necessary to do our jobs and protect us? These are all good questions and questions that you may be asking by now. Did we have a unique identity when we came into this world? Perhaps, but we have to discover it, because when we were born, we were immersed in the emotional and social energy fields of our parents or caretakers. We felt their feelings, emotions, and attitude as our own. We had basic needs to be loved, nurtured, and fed, to be kept safe from harm, and to know ourselves. It was up to our caretakers to do most of this for a very long time. But discovering our identity was up to us from the beginning. Self-discovery is something we began to do the moment we were born. Okay, so there she's leading off into how we can begin to become more self-aware, and also, more importantly there, the fact that we were born knowing how to do these sort of things. We had a unique identity coming into this world, and again, those the input of our caretakers and parents, the social and cultural, all of these things serve to form an opinion for us about the world and about who we are. So getting down into the aspects of self-identification, I do want to begin to cover at least one of the aspects today, which is false identity or ego. And then as we proceed throughout the week, we will talk more about the mirror neurons, which is one of the things supporting our inner coach, changing programs. That ought to be really interesting when we get down into changing those programs, and then discernment versus judgment. So those are the topics that we will get more into tomorrow. I'm going to cover today, as an aspect of your identity, the false identity or ego, and we'll talk about that a little bit before we wrap up today. All right, so the false identity ego. One of the ways in which we get to know ourselves is through feedback, whether the feedback is accurate or not. For example, if you want to know what you look like, you look in a mirror, which gives you feedback. However, the mirror can distort the image and is only two-dimensional, so it cannot accurately reflect you as a three-dimensional being. We also get feedback from others when they communicate how they see us, which can also be distorted. They may do this through words or facial expressions. I just had a thought there on that particular part, of how people, how we speak so clearly through our facial expressions. You know, you can say something to somebody, and then if you're right in front of them, you can almost automatically see their feedback. If they're confused, you get that wrinkled eye look. If they're surprised, or if you've said something that's offensive to them, they may frown. So think about that. The many ways that we receive feedback on a daily basis when we're talking and dealing with people, it's not only their words or what they're saying to us, it's also their expressions that they have on their face that allow us to get that feedback from others. All right, so yes, they may do this through words or facial expressions, so I'm going to continue there on with the false identity and ego. People look at a baby and smile or frown, saying loving or derogatory things, and either caress or harm them with touch. From the behavior of its caretaker, the baby concludes that he or she is cute and adorable, or bad and a brat, etc. Each piece of feedback is added to the self-image. So much like pieces of paper mache or lumps of clay, this feedback molds and shapes the baby's self-image. So again, we'll pause there. There's only one more paragraph left in this section. But again, the feedback that we received, whether it was from touch or words or expressions, though every bit of that feedback helped to form what's called our self-image or our false identity. So think about that for a minute. Is everyone who you were ever around, if they were perfect and gave you absolutely perfect words and they were very encouraging and uplifting and honoring of who you are, if that's the type of feedback that you received growing up, then you probably have a fairly healthy self-image, healthy identity of who you are. But on the flip side, if some of those things were not the healthiest things, or maybe there wasn't a lot of communication at all, you know, maybe it wasn't that it was good or bad, maybe there was just a lack of that interaction. At any rate, it helped to form your personal self-image of who you are. That feedback that was given to you is what created the self-image of who you are, and also that self-image is your ego. So now we're going to finish up this last paragraph here on identity, on the self-identity. She goes on to say that this self-portrait is not accurate. However, because it's made out of other people's opinions and judgments, which in turn are colored by their own wounds, misperceptions, projections, biases, and ignorance. Nevertheless, this false self-image is what we wear as our identity, which is called an ego. The ego is a false image of what and who we think we are. Awakening or becoming enlightened is an exciting process of loving, forgiving, releasing, transforming, and embracing to discover our real identity and authentic self. In part 4 of this book, we will explore the concept of your authentic self and how to tell the difference between your ego or false self and your authentic self, the real you. All right, so that's really a point that I want to touch back on there. And I'd also like you to think about that as well, that this self-portrait, all of these ways that we were fed into that caused us to create a self-image of who we are, she's saying in most cases it wasn't even accurate because it was colored by somebody else's opinion, somebody else's judgment, their own wounds, all right? So if I'll use myself for an example here. If I'm coming from a wounded perspective or I have a misconception about what the truth really is and I'm passing that on to my children, then that's creating a self image for them that's also not valid. And so they're building their self image up off of faulty information, which is how we get that foundation, right? That the bottom of that foundation is our self identity. Our foundation is who we believe we are. Okay? So I guess what Kaylee is pointing out for us here in this book is that the first step to living from a place of your authentic self, the real you, as she put it here, is understanding that we were fed into in a way that wasn't always in our highest and best interest. Now, again, that's not, I don't want anybody to feel like, well, you know, pointing fingers of blame towards the people who may have raised you or the people who were around you. Because I'm a firm believer that at all times, all of us are doing the best that we can with what we have. All right? So a lot of this was carried on from generation to generation. So my mom may have been more critical because she dealt with a lot of criticism coming up, and so on and so forth, on down the generational track. So it's really good information to know that these opinions, other people's opinions and judgments, is what help us to form or to know who we really are. And again, that was colored by their own wounds, their misperceptions, projections, biases, and ignorance. The self-image is what Kaylee's saying here, is the self-image is what we wear as our identity. So whatever you've been told, whatever's been fed off into you, whatever layers are now covering that original perfection, that true perfection of who you are, that's what you're building your life up off of. Because remember that that's our foundation, you know, and if that foundation is built in a way where we have a lot of different layers over it, then everything above that is affected. Our ability to appreciate is affected. Our ability to have clear intentions is affected. So a lot of the things that we studied about creating clear intentions, you would need to really address your foundation before you could create clearer intentions. And by address your foundation, I simply mean becoming self-aware of how your self-image was created, your false ego. So it's the ego or the false self, not the false ego. All right? So what this is about is getting back down into the authentic self, the real you, building that, laying that foundation of a strong self-image so that you can learn to appreciate, have a real clarity when it comes to appreciating the things that occur in your life. That increases your capacity to appreciate. So the more clear I am on who I am, the more I can appreciate, the clearer my intentions are, which means the better life I'm going to create for myself, all right? So that is the information that I wanted to offer up today, the three aspects of self-awareness, and then we also touched on the false identity and ego. So that gives you a little something to think about as we get ready to close the show off for today. If you have any questions, you can raise your hands about what we've discussed today. We do have a few minutes before we get ready to close the show up for today. Okay. And then also a reminder, of course, if you have any questions that you think of after the show, feel free to shoot me an email and we'll try to address that. I did receive a really cool email last week, and I just want to say hi to Helen. I received your email, and that was really awesome. Thank you so much for your feedback, and I'm glad that this information is benefiting you, and I hope that it's benefiting everyone. All right, so we do have a caller holding, so I'm going to go ahead and bring them on the line. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. This is Cody Smith. I just wanted to comment on that fact about the ego and the forming of this, you know, this image of yourself that you form based on other people's projection or other people's comments, you know?
Yes.
And it's so critical when you're young, because I can remember things that people said about me, and I said it didn't matter. But as I noticed as I grew up, it never really left me, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know,
yes.
I can get as far back as my mother.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had said some derogatory things about me that I never thought would have any effect on me.
Mm-hmm.
But today, 67 years later, I can still feel that. And it's just, one of them was when her and my father separated, my mother was always angry at the beginning with my father because I look so much like him.
Mm.
And sometimes parents are telling kids, you ain't going to be nothing. You're going to be just like your father or something
mm-hmm.
like that. I don't know mm-hmm. if y'all, I don't know what planet y'all on. If y'all have never heard that, that's what happened with me. So a lot of times when people evaluate you and they say what you're going to be and what you ain't going to be, you know, there used to be a remark that, and this is negative, but it's like they used to say, you know, you're not going to let it get 21. That was usually a statement reserved for people who were young and kept constantly getting in trouble in school and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just so amazing to listen to that, realizing that no matter what you say, a lot of those comments do form the way that you think about yourself, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And thank you for making that point, Cody. And it's absolutely true that the what you heard coming up, whether it was from your mother or friends or playmates, these things shaped our self-image. It created a false self-image for us, which is the ego, and it's a result there of other people's stuff, and that's why it's not accurate, because it's not based on our own truth. It was fed into us. It was told to us. These things were told to us, so it's really based on somebody else's opinion or somebody else's projection onto you. And those layers, just they build up over, like you said, I didn't think it mattered much, you know. But as you get older, you can absolutely see how what you were told did shape mm-hmm. your opinion.
Absolutely, yeah.
On who you were. It shaped the opinion of who you were. It helped you to determine, who am I? You know, who am I in this world? What is it that I have to offer this world? Those questions were answered in large part by the people who fed into you. Like I said earlier in this chapter, it's not just the words that people use with you that provided feedback. It's their expressions, their facial expressions. You know, you may say something that you think is really positive or uplifting or good, and you get this frown, you know, so you begin to believe that either what I said was not valid or important, or whatever the case may be. So I just want to say thank you again, Cody, for chiming in there and restating how this affected you, you know, coming up in the world, that this did play a part. And it for not only you, for all of us. It helped us to, and again, this is our foundation. Our self-image is the foundational point of our ability to create the life we want. So if we have a healthy identification, then more than likely we have exactly what we need to be appreciative in this world, and then also to have the clarity to get those things, to have good intentions. So it all starts with a healthy image, a healthy self-image.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Cody. Thank you so much for chiming in there.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right, so we are going to go ahead and wrap the show up for today. It is truly something for you to think about in terms of who you are as far as self-image goes. You are worthy. You're important in so many ways. I'm so thankful that you're here with us learning more about who you are, your strengths. And so I just want to close today with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everyone listening today on the radio and in the archives later on. I pray for continued blessings. I pray for clarity. I pray for right understanding so that we are able to build our self-image into a life that we want to create. I thank you, and I know that it is so, and so it is. Everybody have a wonderful, productive, and awesome Monday. and we'll see you tomorrow.